This is Pushing the Odds, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts and Quicken Loans. Live from Las Vegas, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It's a 95% chance, from what I understand, that this is not going to be a 30-team return. Now, what is the return going to look like? Is it going to just be the 16 playoff teams? Is it going to be a format that I've heard called playoffs plus, where it's some kind of play-in tournament or some kind of group phase like you see at the Olympics, where everybody would play a round robin and certain teams would advance into a formal bracket? Is it going to be a play-in tournament with just a few teams playing for the last couple of spots? These are what's under discussion right now.
Brian Windhorst of ESPN on what the NBA is trying to do and how they're going to do it when they will come back and return for the season. It looks like June for training camps, July for games in Orlando is where the league may wind up headed. Taz Mellis covers the NBA for a variety of outlets, The Athletic, Yahoo Sports, and NBA TV, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Taz, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Matt, I'm doing as well as I possibly could be. How you doing?
I'm okay. I appreciate you coming on. Okay, so Vegas is out. Orlando is the spot. How do you feel about Orlando and Disney World being the spot for the NBA to come back?
People above my pay grade are making this decision, but from an outsider's perspective, it seems like it's the most sort of contained environment. Hopefully, the daily testing is part of the protocol. I'm sure it is, as the NBA has said. And as I said, like, the courts are available, the hotels are on the same premises. It would seem like, depending on what protocol they put in, it would seem like it makes a heck of a lot of sense if all goes well. I would like it to be as much of a bubble as opposed to, like, the campus-style terminology that they're using with players and families that they're bringing going in and out. I think that just adds a lot more fuel to the fire, especially if you're there for months. It obviously lends itself, if it's a campus-like atmosphere, people going in and out. But as far as Disney, right then, right there, it sounds like a sound idea.
So the NBA right now, it appears the 1-16 reseeding or getting rid of the Eastern Conference, Western Conference idea is not going to happen. I'm actually a pretty big fan of that, and I think given where we are, why not be aggressive and why not schedule? Do you like the idea of going 1-16, or do you prefer the conferences and going 1-8 when it comes to the postseason format?
Well, when it comes to the postseason format in general, I think 1-16 makes sense. But doing it this year, I think, doesn't make any sense. They didn't play a balanced schedule throughout the year. Like, the East plays the Eastern Conference a heck of a lot more. Same with the West. So a team like the Blazers on the outside looking in would say, well, if we played Eastern Conference teams, then we'd probably be, top 16 as well. We wouldn't have had as tough a schedule. So that, plus there's no travel. So it doesn't really give you a good indicator as to whether or not 1-16 works. You have to have a balanced schedule, and you have to be flying. So, sure, you could do it. Sure, give it a shot. But it doesn't give any indicator that it'll work in the future. And I think if you go 1-8, both conferences, I think it kind of reduces the asterisks on this particular season. Don't make it as gimmicky as possible. Don't throw in a bunch of things. To me, there's talk about a group stage and then going on to the second round. Like, you play your own group a couple times and the top two seeds move on. Like, adding any changes to the playoff format, to me, just makes it seem a little bit more gimmicky and reduces the weight that a title should have for the winner. So I would let it go 1-8 this season. And if you're doing the 1-16, which Adam Silver has been willing to adopt, you start it next season with a balanced schedule and then actually flying back and forth in round number one, whatever playoff format you choose. That's how it should be done. Otherwise, you will have teams griping, and I don't think they're going to choose it at all. I don't think they're going to choose 1-16. I think, there'll be some Western Conference teams, like the Lakers are going to be super pumped, because if you look at the bracket, they won't have to play the Clippers until the finals. They've got an easy road. But teams like the Bucks in the Eastern Conference will have to play the Clippers before they'd have to play the Lakers. So they'd have to face both of them. There's a few teams in the East that are going to say no. So I'm not sure what the voting process would be, but I don't see it happening. And I would say don't make it gimmicky whatsoever.
So the NHL test is going to wind up with a 24-team postseason, essentially. They're going to fast forward. They're going to play the top four seeds in each conference. Will get essentially their own mini-tournament. We'll find out more about that later on today. But do you feel like the NBA should play some games before the postseason or go right to the postseason when they get to Orlando?
Yeah, that's a real tough one because they need time to be on the court running up and down. That's a given. And ideally, it's not just practice. Ideally, it's some sort of gameplay. But to me, I think they should just do some sort of scrimmages and try and emulate gameplay as much as possible against the other teams, a couple other teams. But regular season doesn't really make sense to me. Like, bringing more teams in doesn't make sense to me. And if you're playing regular season games, just to add it onto the docket, like to add more, not just more time, but it creates a really strange ledger when you look back at the season. They had these games of what the Lakers played the Nets randomly in July. It doesn't make sense. I think scrimmages is the way to go, and keeping 17 through 30 in the NBA, just having the 16 teams there and keeping 17 through 30 out of the picture is what I would do.
I agree with you, and we've got a couple of public comments that kind of lead some credence to that. I mean, we know that the Warriors have been operating, quote, in postseason mode from their head coach and Steve Kerr saying, you know, guys, we're not playing in our minds. We're done. And then you got Damian Lillard saying that if you send me to Orlando and I can't play in the postseason, I'm not going to play. So how does the NBA deal with that if they want to bring back, maybe not the full 30, maybe they want to bring back 20, 24 teams? I mean, they have to have some area where the Pelicans and the Blazers could make the postseason, right?
Right. I think that's logical, and I think that you have to, you're trying to balance both options here. You're trying to make everybody happy, but you're trying to be as safe as possible. So why invite the Blazers or a team that's on the precipice there, on the bubble of the Western Conference playoff picture, along with, the Kings, the Pelicans? There's a couple teams there. If they're not going to be able to make the playoffs, they're back, 3.5 games back of the eighth seed. If you add 5 regular season games, they're not going to make it. If there is a play-in tournament, if they want to do that to just appease those few teams there, the Spurs, Kings, Blazers, and Pelicans, there's 4 of them there. That sort of makes sense. I can see that happening. The Warriors, it was a great dynasty. You don't have to come. That's your bonus for this season. Just do not come. But I could see an instance where the teams that are just outside of the playoff picture, especially in the Western Conference, I guess you'd have to do it for the East as well, even though they're further back. And then you're getting into, why the heck are you going to invite all these teams down there? You played 65 games. You played more than 3/4 of the schedule, approximately there, and you weren't in the playoff picture. And I get what Damian Lillard is saying. I totally do. And the risk reward doesn't really make sense if you're going there to do what? To play in a few meaningless regular season games. If he's going for a play-in tournament, I guess what he's saying is that he would go, and that makes sense. But at the same time, do you want to invite not only, 15 players on each of those 4 rosters, but the NBA, according to ESPN, after the Athletics reporting, was that there'd be 35 people per team going down there. And that's just players and personnel. And then there's all the families that would be coming down. So that's a lot of people when you start adding it up. And to me, I think you appease Damian Lillard, the Pelicans, and say, hey, you're right, Damian Lillard, don't come down for regular season games, but we're moving on to the playoffs.
Yeah, it is tough because you're the Wizards, who are 24-40, and the Hornets are 23-42. So it's, okay, guys, you got a chance to make the postseason. Go ahead and play. It's, in the Hornets' perspective, they're 7 games back of the Magic for the eighth seed. But you're right. The Eastern Conference,
and Matt, even the Western Conference playoff picture, even in the West, of the Blazers and those teams are way below 500 as well. So it's kind of hard to make the argument for them to say, hey, we're one of the 16 best teams. Even if you adopted the 1 through 16 right now with the NBA standings, the Blazers wouldn't be there. And so, I don't know what they really would have to argue for. You know, they haven't been a great team. If this was one of those years where the West was better than the East, the 9th, 10th, 11th was better than the 7th, 8th in the East, then they'd have an argument. But at this point, it's kind of hard to argue when you're not a winning team.
Agreed. So you get here in this, and this is, you know, towards the end of the Eastern Conference numbers here. Right now, Brooklyn is in, and they'll be the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs if they go right to the postseason. But if you're Kevin Durant and you're feeling good, what do you play? Would you play?
Ooh-wee, what a question. You know, to me, I was there in Game 5 last year, the NBA Finals, when Kevin Durant decided to come back because he wanted to play, and he tore that Achilles. And I thought to myself, there's no way he would try and do something somewhat similar in coming back when, you know, he doesn't have a training camp to go up and down and get ready for, when he would just be jumping into a, you know, a playoff type atmosphere, or even a few games with if they have a regular season. Then I hear guys like Nets broadcaster, the legend Ian Eagle, say, if he doesn't play now and they go into next season late in the year, let's say they start in December, which is definitely a good possibility, that's 20 months that he would be sitting out. And a guy who lives, eats, and breathes basketball like Kevin Durant would be, I don't know, he'd be itching to get out there. But I would lean towards him not doing it. You know, I think with the Warriors, it was a bit of a different situation. They knew that they could win. With the Nets, he doesn't know if he can win. They have never played together. Kyrie Irving is a question mark as well, because of his shoulder surgery. So I think they probably don't know what the ceiling is for that team quite yet, because they haven't played together. So as much as KD, I'm sure, is itching at, he wants to get off Twitter and get on the basketball floor, I'd say he'll be tweeting instead of playing ball in July and August.
Interesting stuff. Tess, thanks for the time. Really appreciate you coming on today.
No problem at all, Matt. Take care.
That is Tess Mellis from NBA TV, The Athletic, and Yahoo Sports, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Good conversation with him about the NBA. Oh.